On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
soul in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
of
God.
Never
stand. There'll be no more sorrow.
No more pain. There'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
likeness.
Ready to live
I'll in glory. Be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Free. From every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new
life.
Glorified with him forever, death will be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
never stand. No more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
One. A hallelujah morning, when the last trump of God shall sound. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
praise. All bursting saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With a redeemed God to stand.
There'll
be no more sorrow.
No more pain. There'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Kessler. Welcome to the Passion for Christ show. So glad to have you, friend. You see, I'm privileged to be a part of the greatest movement ever, a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, in him I found peace, joy, and happiness. I am blessed beyond measure, more than I could ever deserve. My goal here is simple, that is to encourage you along the way, help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. Upcoming in our study segment, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. 2018. Forgiveness 2018. But first, headline news. Get this. Little boy by the name of Drake Quibidou is a young Louisiana boy who is diagnosed with lethal diffuse intrinsic potine glioma. If you don't know what that is, it's an incurable aggressive brain tumor that puts pressure on the nerves that control the essential bodily functions, such as cognitive function and mobility, and it affects breathing and heartbeat. But when a family friend learned of this severe diagnosis with this young boy, they reached out to the public asking them to flood his mailbox with Christmas cards. And what do you know? He received 40,000 greeting cards plus one very special card from the President of the United States. Drake and his family are overwhelmed with gratitude for all the people who sent cards and gifts to the young boy. Reportedly, ever since it was announced that Drake's inoperable tumor was rapidly progressing, his mailbox has continued to be flooded with notes and well wishes. Well, there you go, folks. A boy with terminal cancer received 40,000 Christmas cards plus one from the President of the United States of America. Well, folks, let's pray for that little boy who is facing such a terminal cancer. Let's pray for that young boy. Get this. Christians in China may be discouraged in the face of a government crackdown on their faith, but they're not backing down. We will not forfeit our faith because of suppression by the authorities, Gu, a Christian whose church was shut down in early December. Gu's congregation was closed by Chinese officials as part of an effort to limit the impact of the country's unregistered churches, which house an estimated 30 million Christians. They took their Bibles, closed the schools, the church's school and seminary, and charged the pastor, Wang Ya, with inciting subversion. Gu is a rice grower who had looked forward to the church's Christmas festivals, which included a pageant and singing of carols. This year, instead, he went to a Christian friend's home on Christmas Eve and worshiped quietly. They sang songs and prayed for their fellow believers who are in jail. And so, the goal of these authorities is to increase allegiance to the ruling Communist Party. Gu is drawing strength from Scripture. One of his favorite passages is Proverbs 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter through the full light of day. Early Reign members were asked to sign letters stating they renounce Christianity. Instead, they have chosen to worship in private. We have moved underground, said one church member. There you go, folks. We will not forfeit our faith, says Chinese Christians whose church was closed. Folks, just look around you. Think about freely going to church this Sunday morning. What an absolute blessing that is when we hear stories like this from China. Folks, we need to pray. We need to count our blessings. We need to know how rich we truly are. Let's pray for the Christians in China. Well, get this. A New Jersey man who lost a Civil War Bible that belonged to his great-great uncle has recovered the treasured artifact, although he's not sure who had it. The man, Robert E. Burroughs, had owned an 1854 pocket Bible that his ancestor, Archibald Todd, was given when reporting for duty as a member of the 13th New Jersey Volunteer Infantry. Todd had fought for the Union. The Bible was given to Burroughs when he was 7, but then it was stolen in 2015. Burroughs found it again on all places, eBay. Burroughs, who shops on the site, often said it looked exactly like the one his great-great-uncle had owned. It even had the same Bible citations handwritten by his ancestor, Matthew 18 and Romans 12. Not knowing what to do, Burroughs called the local police, which directed him to the FBI. The FBI told him to expect a package in the mail. I said, okay, yeah. But then days later, it arrived. Burroughs, 71, never discovered if anyone was arrested or charged in the case. He had carried the Bible with him to Vietnam, and he plans on keeping it safe the rest of his life. Burroughs says, I got something back, a piece of family history. Well, folks, what an amazing story. Man finds a stolen 1854 Civil War Bible on eBay, of all places. You never know when you're going to find treasures on eBay, folks. Well, this man got more than a piece of history back. He's got the Word of Life. Amen. Read your Bible, folks. Read your Bible and hold on to it tightly. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. And that's our headline news for this broadcast. And now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here is your clue. I was Solomon's original name. What is my name? I was Solomon's original name. What is my name? There you go, folks. That was your clue. I was Solomon's original name. What is my name? We will reveal the answer following our study segment. So stay tuned, folks, for that exciting reveal in our concluding segment of Name That Bible Character. Now we have our study segment. Our study for this broadcast is Forgiveness 2018. Well, folks, there's a lot of things that at the end of the year we start doing. We start to evaluate. We start to looking over the things that we should have done and didn't do, and then make a point to say, okay, we need to do this or do that. We start to evaluate our life. And one of those areas that I think we sometimes miss at the end of the year is looking at how we interacted with people in the area of forgiveness. I mean, we have a lot of hate in this world today, folks. A lot of bitterness, a lot of strife, a lot of anger. We need to ask ourselves, are we getting caught up in that? Are we holding grudges? Are we keeping bitterness deep inside our heart? The root of bitterness is a very terrible thing, and it can cause, and the effects of that just destroys families, folks. So we need to know what God's Word says about forgiveness. We need to ask some questions about if we are holding any kind of unforgiveness, the attitude of unforgiveness in our lives. And we just need to be fair about it and ask, have I been forgiving in 2018? And I need to start today to forgive like Christ had forgiven me. Let's look at a couple of passages, because I think some of these passages will awaken our eyes and get our attention and get us focused in this study. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace. Daniel chapter 9 verse 9 says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving even though we have rebelled against him. Hebrews 10 verse 17 reminds us that their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Folks, God loved us by sending us his Son. Amen. But more importantly than that, he died on the cross, he shed his blood so that we could receive forgiveness. None of us deserve that. And yet God made a decision. He acted not on emotion, but on a decision that was founded on the sacrifice of his Son, on the back of the shoulder of his Son's crucifixion, the blood of his Son. Based on that, now we can find redemption. And I just wonder if sometimes we really learn from that. In fact, Psalms 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. This is the power of forgiveness, folks. But do we learn from that? We didn't deserve it. God's love we didn't deserve. And yet for people who were rotten to the core, God would send his own son. Amen. And yet when we have an opportunity, it's hard for us sometimes to forgive. It's difficult. And yet that's exactly what we're asked to do. Matthew 6 verse 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Folks, it's important for us to know that we have to forgive. It's an act. It's a decision. Just like God says, I will remember your sins no more. It's a promise that we are making. A commitment that we are making. When we forgive, it's based on the same formula, the same format as how God forgave us. It's a decision. It's not based on emotion, but it's a decision. So I will remember this. I will not hold it against them. I will not think on it. I will not hold it over them. I will not chew on it and build on it and stir the fires of bitterness over it, but I will forgive. I will make that decision. Is that something that you've done in 2018? In fact, it's so important. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your heavenly Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. It's that important. In fact, it tells us that in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you, folks. It's important. And let's look back over the year of 2018. How often did you have an opportunity to forgive and you didn't do it? And I want you to just think, what if God decided, oh, because of your mistake, I'm not going to forgive you. Okay, I'm going to hold it against you. I'm just going to use it against you. I'm just going to be angry and my wrath will be upon you. There's no hope. You have no future. Just think if we manifested that kind of attitude. I'm going to take revenge because by taking revenge, justice will be served. Well, that kind of justice is for God and God alone. But we're asked by God himself to forgive. Let me give you an example of the type of forgiveness that we're asked to do. A widow of a missionary who was killed last month says she forgives the man who shot her husband. Stephanie Wesco said she has no bitterness in her soul against anyone. Stephanie was riding in a car with her husband, Charles Truman Wesco, when he was shot in the head during a firefight between separatists and soldiers in Cameron. They have 8 children. King said Stephanie and her family was praying for the man who shot Wesco. We do not know the name of that man, but I pray as a missionary to Cameron that I or her brother Ben Sinclair might one day have the opportunity to meet Charles's killer to express our forgiveness to him and in love seek to lead him to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior, that he also might receive God's forgiveness for what he did. In a message to family and friends, Stephanie said her husband's life goal was to help others love Jesus and serve him. My prayer is that somehow, some way, Jesus will be glorified through my precious Charles' death, and that God will not let his death have been in vain. Folks, widow of missionary killed in Cameron forgives her husband's killer. That's tough, folks. But that's forgiveness. That's the reality. That's the truth of it. murder, hate, vengeance, all of that has to be placed aside, and a decision must be made. That's difficult. It strikes against the very nature of who we are. But the power of Christ, the power of what He accomplished on the cross, that's the only way that we could ever truly forgive. Now, I come across 5 ways to tell if you're forgiven someone. I'd like to run with these 5 things with you just real quick, and then we'll draw to a close. The first way that you can tell you've forgiven someone is the thought test. When the first thought you have about them is not the injury they cause in your life, you probably have extended forgiveness. You should be able to have normal thoughts about that person occasionally. You see, what's happening here is that you're dropping the right to get revenge. You're dropping the right to get even. The grudge you held against them is released. So the first test is the thought test. The second test, an opportunity to help them test. Ask yourself, would you help them if you knew they were in trouble and you had the ability and opportunity to help? Most likely, this person is someone you once cared about, perhaps even loved. You would have assisted them if they needed help at some point in your life. It's a huge test. Would you help them if you knew they were in trouble? So that's the second. First test is the thought test. The second test is the opportunity to help them test. The third test, your general thought test. Can you think positive thoughts about this person? When you think about this person, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Again, whoever this person is that you're struggling to forgive, perhaps you once had a positive relationship with that person. Perhaps the relationship was close, but the fact that they've injured you now has brought this moment of crisis. Is there any good that you can come up with about them? If not, have you really forgiven them? So that was the third test, your general thoughts. What are you thinking about them? What comes to mind when you think about that person? The fourth test is the revenge test. Do you still think of getting even? Does your heart want to hurt them again? If so, would you call that forgiveness? And then lastly, the failure test. When someone injures us, we often wish harm upon them. And you know what? That's just a normal process. We want to strike out. But that's not what forgiveness, that's not part of the forgiveness process. Have you stopped looking for them to fail and to falter and wishing harm on them? If you have truly forgiven someone, then just like you would want for anyone else, you would want them to succeed or at least do better in their life. Do you? So those are the 5 ways to tell if you're forgiven someone. Thought test, the help them test, the general thought test, the revenge test, and the failure test. Folks, we have an opportunity from here on out, and beginning in 2019, to have the proper attitude of forgiveness. We learn that from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to remember this, found in Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. That's the power of love. That's the power of forgiveness. And when we learn that, anger, bitterness, strife, hate, all those things are thrown into the depths of the sea. We have an opportunity to love and forgive one another. Let's do it. And that's our study for this broadcast. And now we have Name That Bible Character. Here was the clue. I was Solomon's original name. What is my name? The answer is Jedediah. Jedediah. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went unto her, lay with her, and she bare a son, and she called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedediah because of the Lord. I was Solomon's original name. What was my name? Jedediah, folks. Jedediah. And Name That Bible Character. Well, friend, you too can be a part of the greatest movement ever and become a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, in Him alone, you can find peace, joy, and happiness and be blessed beyond measure, more than you ever deserve. My goal was simple today. That is to encourage you, friend, along the way and help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. If you ever come through Norman, Oklahoma, visit with us at the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ. Now, I know some of you can't do that, so visit with us on our website, normanchurch.com. 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 Well, friend and listener, I want to say, God bless you. And thank you for listening to this broadcast.
This I know, there's a time to reap and a time to sow. Good deeds planted every day will grow and grow. Oh, Baba told me so, oh, Baba told me so.
This I know,
there's a time to plant and a time to cry. A time to live and a time to die, I know. Oh, Baba told me so, oh, Baba told me so. Oh, the good Lord watches over everyone, morning, noon, and night. He made the moon and he sent his sun so our future would be bright. There's a time to reap and a time to sow, a time to pray when the evening lights are low. The Bible told me so, the Bible told me so.
This I know,
this I know. There's a time to work and a time to play, to scatter flowers on the way wherever you go. Oh, the Bible told me so, oh, the Bible told me so.
Yes, I know.
There's a time to win and a time to lose, a time when everybody gets the blues, I know. Oh, the Bible told me so, oh, the Bible told me so. Oh, the good Lord watches over everyone, morning, noon, and night. He made the moon and he sent his sun so our future would be bright. There's a time to reap and a time to sow, a time to pray when the evening lights are low. The Bible told me so, the Bible told me so.
This I know,
this I know. There's a time to reap and a time to sow, a time to pray when the evening lights are low. The Bible told me so, the Bible told me so.